All right, good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. How are you?
I'm excellent. And you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Shall I launch into our assignments?
Yes, we had some really good ones.
Good. Here, hold on. All right, the assignment for Friday. Let us be kinder to one another. Aldous Huxley's last words. It's probably not a stretch for us to recall that in any given moment, life can feel very difficult. We try hard to be cheerful, optimistic, positive, and grateful, yet on occasion, we're simply taken over by the negativity around us and inside our own head. When we're struggling, the smallest act of kindness can be a godsend, a ray of light in a dark moment. We know that for ourselves, which makes this a perfect time to extrapolate. If it's true for me, I'm going to project it's true for you. Kindness is a godsend for me, and I'm going to bet it's a godsend for you. Today, given that's our experience, let's be kinder to one another every chance we get. Record and listen. And for Saturday, think every day your last. You will receive with joy hours on which you have not counted. We miss so much, so many hours, so much joy when we're lost in conditioned mind, following ego around through its imaginary world of problems, disappointments, fears, regrets, and struggles. Those hours are lost to us. We don't have that time, those experiences that life is providing for us. Ego has that time, and ego is not real. Today, be with everything you encounter as if this is the last time, because it is. Record and listen. And for Sunday, may you live all the days of your life. Here again, we are encouraged to be present for life, not to sleepwalk through our hours and days lost in a ridiculous, repetitive natter in conditioned mind about what's wrong, how I should be, how they should be, it should be, fear, anxiety, poor me, the ills of an imaginary past and an imaginary future. Here, fully consciously, feet on the ground, alert to the senses, resisting nothing, receiving everything here. That's how we live all the days of our lives. That's how we die with no regrets. May we live all the days of our lives, perhaps the most excellent blessing of all. Today, make a recording that reminds you to come to your senses throughout your day. Stop to breathe fully and feel yourself here.
Gosh, they all went together beautifully.
They really
do. Amazing.
Yeah. And you know, it's impressive enough to just read one of these, but boy,
exactly.
Reading all three, the magnitude of what we're doing just really comes through, and you know, all of that prying to get the heart open.
Just listening and just taking it in, just letting it wash over you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
All right, here's our first caller.
Okay.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Paula.
Hey, Paula.
Hi,
Paula. Hi. It is a joy to hear those three quotes and assignments for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I totally agree. It's like all three of them just Well, what happens with me is that I read the one on Friday, and that's my favorite, and then Saturday's come, and that's my favorite, and Sunday's, that's my favorite.
Me too, Father. Me too. And then the voice says, well, they can't all be your favorite. You have to choose. And then you realize, well, what?
Yeah.
Who says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what occurs is that, yeah, it's the favorite. And that moment when it's like really resonating in our heart and the depth of our being, it's like, that is our favorite. You know, it's like, that's just joy in that moment.
Yeah, because that's our favorite experience, is having our heart open and being in joy. And so anytime something facilitates that for us, we have that sort of mirrored for us. So it feels like, oh, that's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, that's perfectly reflected. That's so true. It's just so true. And so the only thing I would like to share is that I guess I will focus on the Sunday quote, and because it reminded me of a song or two that come to your senses and live all the days of your life. It's like I could hear these songs somehow from playing in my memory. And that resonated, and that's something that is really useful for me, is to, when I like that expression, not to be lost in the ridiculous, repetitive natter and conditioned mind, because, you know, it certainly happens. And just last evening in a wonderful event, a fundraising event, I came home and I could just, I was like immediately caught in this kind of ridiculous, repetitive natter. And when I woke up this morning, I had come to my senses. Back in the here, right? Back in the here and now, and being kind, tied back into that quote from Friday of being kinder to all, including, you know, the beings that, this human being. So it's for my life, it's really important to remember that I'm not excluded from the all.
Exactly. So it sounds like having a really heart-opening experience in the evening, coming home and noticing that the way the voices want to close that down is just to go into that natter, you know, which in my experience is, it's their go-to place if there's nothing really they can get us with. You know, no big believable story. If we're pretty here, we're paying attention. So anything big that it throws in isn't going to catch us. So it just goes on that little this, little that, natter, which begins to close down the aperture, and then using that assistance of coming to your senses to really come back to that open, here, present place.
Yeah, I love the way you said that. That's exactly the way it was, because what I was hearing was, you know, like, well, you should have been more, it could have been more sensitive. It would have been better if you had not done this and done that. And, you know, that's so familiar, but it is a place where there's a strong tendency to say, well, maybe that's true. I could have probably been a little bit, you know, maybe more, a little more aware. I could have been more, a little more sensitive. Maybe I should have done this instead of that. And, you know, because it's, that's the subtlety that is, allows the fish to swallow the hook, so to speak.
Yeah. And it's that thing that Sherry often talks about, you know, because we're a group of really good people, it's going to use things like that. Now, I think, you know, Paula, you could have been a little bit more aware and probably a little more sensitive, and that sense of like, gosh, maybe that's true. Maybe I, not realizing it, wait, this process is not sensitive. This process is not kind. This process is not an awareness process. So, you know, it's that Aikido move where the voices start talking to me about that, and I say, that's a good point. I'm going to start right now. I'm going to be really kind to this person. Instead of having that review of how it could have been and what I, you know, just the small tweaks I should have done and that sort of thing.
Yeah. That is just so true. So true. So, well, thank you for the opportunity to share and to get some feedback on that, and hope you all and everyone has a beautiful day.
You too, Paula. Thanks for participating.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Jen, I just love that every time we do wake up in that nattering, which I agree is a great description, repetitive nattering, that we not only get our lives back, right? We really get to be fully here and present for our lives, that behind the scenes in some way, every time we do that, conditioning is getting a little smaller, and we're getting a little bigger, if that's a reasonable way to describe that.
Transformation is taking place even
if we're not aware of it.
Which is why it has to really start screaming when we're really committed to being here. You know, it's that, you know, that image of like the Wizard of Oz or something, you know, a little tiny insignificant thing, entity that has to scream through a big megaphone to make it seem like it's big and scary.
Yep. Has to use tricks to make itself seem bigger than it is, you know.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so here is our next caller. Next caller, all right. You're now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, this is Alicia calling from Seattle.
Hey, Alicia. How are you?
Hello. Oh, I'm doing really well. Thank you. I'm happy to be on the call.
Good.
I just wanted to add my experience practicing with yesterday's assignment about living all the days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I, what I was practicing with was this idea, I've noticed that there in my life, there is a lot of, just for example, like reaching for my phone without really knowing why I'm doing it, you know, and then, and then you're kind of lost and, you know, you wake up and you're like, what am I doing? And so yesterday, I was reminded of a thing, you know, the quote reminded me of this thing that I had heard in a yoga class where, you know, we were all in a forward bend, you know, your legs are straight and you're forward bending, and the teacher was giving us the prompt, you know, just to be with wherever, you know, your body was, don't overdo. And her guidance was, you know, don't try to get to the floor. She said, I've been to the floor and there's nothing there. And it was that thing of like, there's nothing there, you know, that like I can, I don't have to get beyond, you know, there's nothing to get to. And yesterday in this, when I would have that, because I do have a sense, you know, when I get lost in the phone, for example, that I'm not, that's not what I want to be doing. I don't, that kind of losing or going unconscious. And so when I have that urge, I was like, there's nothing there. And I can see that there's like a looking for outside. And with that, like, no, there's nothing out there. It's, you know, we're just here. It was comforting to me. And, you know, like there's nothing missing. There's nowhere to get to. It was a nice, a nice day.
Yeah. Well, it's brilliant because just sure everyone can relate to it. It's not exactly the phone, although I'm guessing 98% of people can relate to the phone one. But if it's not the phone, is something else, right, that the attention is reaching for. And that sense of when we look at that really subtle level, it is that looking for something, but what? We have no idea. We have no idea. And to me, it's that classic place of right before, you know, we talk about with projection, that when we start to really watch projection on a subtle level, what we realize is, you know, so I look out and I think, oh, look at that person. They seem so happy. And when we start to pay attention at a really subtle level, what we see is that projection comes from happy inside of me. So happy was happening right before I projected that. Mm-hmm. So I project what conditioning is doing with us with something like the phone is that we're having an experience of just being here, just being in life. And the way to make sure we don't have that present moment experience is to look for it. So to reach for the phone or to reach for something else, you know, to have that metaphorically, to try to reach the floor, to believe that I need to get something or get somewhere in order to have the experience. And what I think you're talking about is one of the incredible geniuses of practice, which is that we train ourselves to have the experience here, now, this, no matter what it is. We realize we can have that experience not through a content, but through practicing the actual process of it.
And you stated it, reflected it, that whole thing so well. It's such a lovely place, and it's also fun to see. It's like, oh, yeah. I mean, then it becomes less heavy. Like, well, nope, there's not. I don't need to get to the floor. I just don't.
Yeah, exactly. And it really frees me up to have fun with and be where I am.
Yeah.
Right? Just explore here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Really good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, and nice to talk to you guys and hear you both. So.
Yeah. You too, Alicia.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Alicia.
Bye-bye.
So, Jen, I'm reminded of conversations that we have about body sensations and how at the bottom of all of that suffering, there often is just one tiny little sensation with that sense that there's something wrong, and then that's the place where if we don't uncover that or see that in some way, that we'll find ourselves reaching for the phone. And that's a pretty innocuous example, but there's a lot of other things we reach for that aren't in that place. So
that's such a good point. Right, such a good point. And it seems like an innocuous content until we start really looking at it and we realize, wow, the whole process of suffering is in that. It really is.
Yep.
You know? And that there is a sensation that means reach for your phone.
And I'm just blindly following it if I'm not paying attention. And I think like Alicia was saying, and it's like, wow. Shocking on one level and then totally revealing on the other level when we're there for it and we go, wow, there's actually nothing there other than a body sensation, and that's the end of it.
Right, which is, I project, why Alicia was talking about that enthusiasm and, you know, excitement with it of like, wow, that being able to see at that level really does start to open doors for us, you know, to actually make, you know, I could say to make different choices, but it's more like to make choices. To choose.
Good point. Yeah, that's right. Previously there was no choice, and now there would be. Yeah.
And just last quick little thing, which is that When You're Following Guides is such a, that one of Sherry's books is such a perfect, you know, lays out what you're talking about is precisely, walking us through the critical nature of finding that first sensation and the transformative nature of being able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, great. Here's our next caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan from Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Hi. Saturday's assignment really got me with, I guess I summarize it as, you know, pretend every hour, or act as if every hour is your last. And I woke up really in the dark room. Well, I guess I didn't wake up in it, but I found myself quickly in the dark room. And I was kind of full on suffering for 2 or 3 hours there. And then I remember, oh yeah, I haven't read today's assignment. And I looked up and just the story was that someone else was causing my suffering. Ha ha ha. And I just looked up and just this is my last hour. And the heart knew I didn't want to spend it like this. And the person I happened to be looking at, who I was struggling with over the content, suddenly I was just thankful for them. I'm going to appreciate them for the last hour I got. And
wow,
just right out of the dark room.
Wow, I got goosebumps as you're saying that, Dan. Yeah, I mean, that is right there. It's such an amazing illustration of the power of awareness. Because that's all that changed, right? Nothing else changed.
Yeah. It's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious. It's a miracle.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Because
right.
If this is your last hour, then I project what's going to happen is you're going to let go of thinking that this thing that's going on between us is important or could be resolved because we only have an hour left. So. Right? Well, I don't need to resolve it. I don't want to resolve it. It's irrelevant because when I really look, if this is my last hour with you, my God, I love you. There's so much to be grateful for about you. I'm so glad you're in my life. You know, that thing is completely set aside.
Yeah, I was really in a place like it's not even important. I'm not even going to waste energy on it. It's not even a debate. Mm-hmm. But I liked what I heard when you said the idea of resolving, because there was this idea that I had to resolve. You know, there was going to be this big struggle to. But in that moment, it just, I guess a little about then, it wasn't even a problem. So there was nothing to resolve, right? It was just,
exactly.
It was gone.
Yeah.
And nothing, no one had to change. And it was an eye blink.
Yeah.
And so I recorded about that. Reminded myself of that moment of moving from the dark room to the light room in a blink.
Yeah, that is excellent. Because is it going to happen again? Yeah, chances are really, really good. But it's gonna happen. Right? So to have
it will
that
happen again.
That reminds you is so huge. You know, because what I saw as you were talking, Dan, is that it's fun how each of the assignments is like a little koan, you know, one of those spiritual puzzles that conditioned mind can't solve because usually they're, you know, they don't, quote, make sense. And the, you know, my understanding of how they're used or how they have been used historically is they're designed to kind of flip that switch away from that sort of, quote, logical and thinking conditioned mind where I know and I can put the pieces together and all that, to flip that switch to that experience of non-separation. And that's not something we can think our way to. And so what you're describing is such a perfect example of the assignment just flipped the switch. It just moved you to that place of non-separation instead of thinking your way out of it.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing more and more hearing that is there's no way to think your way out of it. That's the trick.
That's the trick.
You just step out of it. And all these practice tools and help. So just a lot of gratitude. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Dan. Because I think what it really underlines is, you know, what Sherry's always saying to all of us all the time, which is you have to get out of the conversation. And that's what we're doing in the conversation, right, is we're trying to work it all out, trying to get it all solved and think through it, and it's never going to happen.
Yeah, and part of that conversation for me is that it's worked in the past. That's why it's an effective tool, quote unquote. But what I'm seeing more and more is that it worked for ego. I mean, it got some ego satisfaction out of it.
But
it doesn't compare to just looking at someone with eyes of love.
Exactly. Yes, maybe I can, quote, talk myself into a conditional place of, you know, I'm getting what I want. But is that even really what I want, truly? Yeah.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank
you, Sangha.
Thank you, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Exactly. Thank you, Sangha.
Thanks, Dan. So, Jen, I have friends who, along the same lines that Dan was talking about, friends who meditate for an hour. And sometimes they'll ask me, well, how do you get it all in 30 minutes like we do? And it seems like the same kind of a thing where that's the time I've got. And so, you know, I disidentify based on the time that I think that I have. And in that same way, if it's life and death in every moment, then, gosh, it sure lights a burner under the disidentification tools. Yeah.
Well, it really does. It really does. And you know what that underlines, Chris, is that sense that we often, I think a lot of us carry around is pretty soon, you know, yeah, I'm gonna really get to that. But right now, if we were honest, right now I'm going to natter with the ocean mind for a little while more. But pretty soon I'll get
That's
here.
That's right. Pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Yeah. I'll bet we can all relate to that. So, all right, here's our next caller. Next caller, you're now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta. Hey, Greta. Hi. So this has been a great conversation, exactly what I have been experiencing. What I noticed this morning was just the kind of the kind way that life will drop in a bit of information. And then conditioning will quickly turn it into something. So the example is practicing with kind of limiting my explanations and then seeing how just the scenario, something that happened yesterday, where I could have been more of a sort of a more of a reflective listener of what the person was saying instead of this conditioned habit I have of just saying, oh yeah, I know that experience and here's my example. And it, so it just all dropped in really completely how, wow, yeah, so if I was practicing with saying less, I could have been there for that person kind of in the now, as opposed to in my story about how it was for me and how just much more kind that would be for that person to have that reflection.
Yeah. It reminds me a bit of what Paula was talking about as well, that so when we're paying attention and we're going around in our lives, often there's insight available to us, and it's not always in the moment. Sometimes it's after the fact. It just drops in. And then our relationship with that can really be, oh, thank you. And then that's available to us as we go forward in our lives.
Right, exactly. And what happens, and something else happened this morning, a different interaction, and what I notice is right then I was doing something, I was practicing, I was very present to the information right then, and then conditioning took it and turned it, you know, started to turn the karmic wheel. So it kind of can go both ways, but what we're talking about is kind of what Dan was just talking about is what are we doing with it right now, right here? Yes. There's no floor to get to. We're just all practicing right here.
Yes. Oh, that's so good, Greta. So that if I'm tracking what you're saying, that a sense of whenever that insight drops in or that information or at whatever point it does, we just practice staying present with that information instead of going off into whatever the next condition process with that might be. And it can almost become, you know, if we bring kind of a sense of humor and a sense of lightness to it, it's just, oh, okay, I see. That's where it came in then. That's where it entered that time. And, got it. All right. Nothing wrong. Just watching. Just paying attention.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the response in the moment. I could see it. I was like, okay, life, I guess I really am not seeing something here. I'll just keep looking. And then the wheel started, you know, and all the karma started up about what happens in that kind of situation and the nattering started up.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that one of the ways I've been practicing that kind of speaks to all these quotes we've been looking at is on these calls, putting myself in the queue and not having anything prepared, or not even having, you know, I have been practicing with the quote, but just wanting to be present to the conversations that are going on right now and hearing what's being said now. And so that, you know, I'm reflecting now that that's helpful, at least for a half an hour during the day, practicing being here so completely that I'm not having to think up anything. I'm just wanting to respond to what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, Greta, because it's such a great illustration of what's possible for us. So you're doing the assignments wholeheartedly, and you're seeing all the things you're seeing, but there's no need to bring in kind of an idea of what I'm going to say on the call necessarily, but I want to put myself in the queue because I want to really be here and be present, and that when you get unmuted, there's just whatever there is to say in the moment, and completely informed by all the practice you've been doing with those assignments through the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And that, to me, speaks to what Chris was just saying about, well, we have a half an hour, so that's what we do. In a half an hour, we do it. Whatever it is, I better get here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly so. Yeah. Yeah, which is what makes those that assignment of, you know, this is your last day, or even the one of, you know, let us live all the days of our lives. And I love that description. It's not, you know, let us be any certain way or have any certain, it's just live. Just live, and that's it. So we translate that, you know, that half hour of meditation or the half hour of Project Joy to our entire life. Okay, this is it. I've got this incarnation. So let's get here and have it.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much. Gratitude for all the practice.
You too, Greta. Thanks for participating.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Greta. Jen, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. Shall I do today's assignment?
Yeah, please.
I live in possibility. One of the most difficult places for the egocentrically, karmically conditioned person is truly getting it that we don't know. You don't know, I don't know, nobody knows. Knowing is just not possible. The illusion of knowing happens for an imaginary person imagining living outside of the only reality there is, life. Once we close in on that fact, where are we? We're right here in this moment. We're here in this moment that has not yet happened. What might happen? We don't know. Could anything be more thrilling than the awareness that everything is possible? When we live in possibility, we live in the thrill that is life living. Today, see how often you can be here in this moment right now, feeling the thrill of life unfolding. Record and listen.
That's it. It's a thrill.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's amazing. And, you know, I just... As you read it, Chris, I think, you know, it's so fun. We're all going to hang up the phone right now, and we have no idea what's
next. What's next?
We truly don't. We truly don't. You know, there's sort of a general vague sense of next is this and that, but we really don't know. I mean, it is just so fun to really, really do that. Yeah.
Eyes we'll wide open is the only response to that. Yeah,
exactly. Eyes wide open, so... We'll get to gather again tomorrow and hear how it went.
All right, sounds great. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Chris. Okay. Thanks, everyone.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.
So happy.